This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good afternoon and welcome to Well Well Well. Here we are on the Wairarapa, 92.7 ROFM. Welcome along. Well 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 represents the first well, looking after ourselves. Two wells, how we look after each other, and all three wells, what we can do in the community to look after each other. So today we've got some special guests and we'll play some music and maybe give you an idea of where they come from. So yeah, here we are at ROFM 92.7, and today's special guests are from the Wairarapa Community Law Centre. Welcome along, Victoria and Darren. How are you two today?
Very well, thank you.
Good, thank you.
Well, awesome to have you on board here. So we'll find out a bit about each of you, and so Victoria, maybe you'd like to start first and just tell us, share a wee bit about yourself and your background.
I'm Victoria. I live in Masterton. I've been working at the Community Law Centre now for about 2 years. I started as a caseworker and then moved into the manager's role about a year ago. My background is I'm a registered legal executive, which means that I have a legal qualification and I work under the supervision of a lawyer. So my background in law covers property law, enduring powers of attorney, wills and estate administration. But I moved to work at the Community Law Centre so that I could expand my knowledge into other areas of the law.
Cool, and Darren, lovely to have you on board as well. What would you like to share a bit about yourself and your background?
Okay, thank you. I'm a solicitor caseworker. I've been at Community Law since October last year. I'm really enjoying it. I previously had roles in a variety of different fields, but one including teaching. I was doing that for about 13 years. Since I was admitted to the bar, I've worked for a couple of local lawyers, and then I've been out on my own for a short time. Then I was fortunate enough to get the job at Community Law, and I really do love it there. We've got a variety of different legal issues that come in every day, every week, and it makes the job really interesting, and I feel like we're helping a lot of different people. So I love working alongside the team at Community Law and with the clients that we see.
Awesome.
So yeah.
Cool. So what's in you've obviously undertaken some other roles, so what's inspired you to be working in the community law area as opposed to some of the other roles you've had? Is there a particular draw card for there?
It's just helping people.
Yeah, it is. It's the helping people. It's the social conscience type thing, I think. The variety of people that we see, not just for me, not specifically just one type of law, but the variety. And I like the thought that I'm helping guide people through what can be quite troubling times at times.
Mm. Yeah, it's helping people who can't afford to pay for a lawyer so that everyone has access to justice. You shouldn't be denied access to justice because you haven't got enough money. And a lot of the issues that we deal with can be dealt with by the person themselves with the right information and assistance. Sometimes it may not be economical to take their issue to a lawyer. If they have the right information before them, they can help themselves.
And so getting in contact with you might actually give them information to come up with a resolution and avoiding that court process, potentially?
That is our goal. One of our goals is to try and avoid the person having to go to court and therefore free up the court's time to deal with other issues.
Yeah, cool. Sounds like there is a bit of a waiting list at the court, so that service would be of huge value. So how about your typical week, your day look?
Typically for me, I'll get in and, we've got emails from clients or, any other professionals. I respond to those. We've got people that walk in through the door, so we meet with them, we discuss their issue, we open a file, discuss the issue and see where we can go from there. We do have appointments. That's sort of pretty much how it runs for me. Victoria might be slightly different, but Craig and I, both being caseworkers, we're generally seeing, though Victoria does as well, but see people that walk through or have appointments for clients and carry on like that.
Yeah. We're also funded to provide legal education sessions, which is where we go out into the community and talk to community groups about whatever issue it is that they would like some information on. So typically, my background being in enduring powers of attorney and wills, they're quite popular sessions. People like to know why they need a will, how to get one, and similarly with enduring powers of attorney, why do I need a legal document so that someone else can make decisions for me? I'll just carry on making decisions for myself. So it's good to let people know what their options are. So just spreading that information to make it more widely known of what the options are.
Great. So let's look at Wairarapa Community Law Centre. Now, I believe there are a number of these around the countryside. Tell us what about maybe a bit of their history, how they've sort of been set up and come to, and what are the services that they provide, you provide?
Yeah, I've only been with community law for a couple of years, this may not be correct, but my recollection is that the community law idea or concept came from the United States initially and then moved to the UK, and I don't quote me, but I think it first appeared in New Zealand in the early 1970s in South Auckland. The first community law centre was set up, and it's just based on that idea that people deserve access to justice and making it available to them. So from the first community law centre, we now have 24 throughout the country. We're all either incorporated societies or charitable trusts, and we all operate independently of each other, but we do belong to a collective where we can share information and ideas. There are three specialty community law centres. So we've got Auckland Disability Law, which is a law centre set up to assist disabled people. It's called Auckland Disability Law, but they are looking at changing the name to recognise that the service is available throughout Aotearoa. There's Youth Law, which is assisting children and young people up to 25 years. So if you've got a child or a young person in your home and they've got a legal issue, you can contact Youth Law by telephone or online, and their caseworkers will deal directly with your child or young person to try and help them work through the legal issue that they're facing. And then there's Ngaitahu Law Centre, specialising in legal services relating to Māori land. So those are the three. Wairarapa Community Law Centre is a generalist community law centre, which means that we deal with whatever legal issues come up on the day. We'll do our best. We're only a small team of three, so there can be short delays in how quickly we can help you. If we find that we can't help you in-house because we don't have the necessary skills, it's not our area of expertise, we are extremely lucky to have the support of local lawyers who we can call on for a free half-hour consultation on a case-by-case basis. And then we also have a reasonably new initiative called Te Ara Turi, which is a community law initiative connecting volunteer lawyers throughout Aotearoa with disadvantaged Kiwis to make the justice system fairer and more accessible. So Te Ara Turi is an online portal where we put up an anonymised case history, and there's about 700 lawyers throughout the country who will go into that once a week and look at cases in their area of law. So, for example, an employment case might be put up. Employment lawyers throughout the country will look at it and assess the merits of the case and then may take that person on pro bono. So that's something that we're really excited about. We see, because we're a small team of three, it just gives us access to so much more assistance for people.
Yeah, really, that's really good knowledge for local community, because I think for a lot of people it would be quite intimidating to get involved in a court process. So a service like this is just huge. And as you say, you're only limited to what you can do, so to tap into some of that greater knowledge is absolutely brilliant. Mm. So what can you clarify, what can you help people with and what can't you help? Is there a bit of a line there as to where and what you can do?
Well, we can help with most things, if you know, only just initially, because we can find information, we can do research, but we've got some areas that we do a lot of focusing on. Perhaps I'll talk about them firstly. So I've got this written down, so just so we do a lot of work in adult relationships, which is mainly around and this is initial consultations, really, separation and relationship property. We do pass these people on to lawyers that have got greater expertise. It's quite complicated, they can be complex. So we do see people come in, they do come in and want to talk to us about that, so we can go through the initial sort of process. We can discuss what separation involves and what relationship property can involve, but then pass it on. We're seeing constantly seeing a lot of parenting or care of children, family matters, and that's often, I don't know what else, we just seem to have need to support and assist a lot of people through those sorts of areas, and it seems to be ongoing. If we don't have the necessary skills or time to assist any further, then we do pass these people on to family lawyers. We're aware that they're really, really busy at the moment too, so at times we've had to start the process for them, but we're always encouraging people to move on to a family lawyer to assist them, because ultimately they're going through, at that point, they're possibly going through the court system. Anything that's not going through the court system, we can discuss and inform and advise on. We've got legislation down here, but I'm not sure if people are interested in the legislation. It's the Care of Children Act. Under that act, there's a lot of talk about the best interests for the child, so that's paramount in our law. So the welfare and best interests of the child is what needs to be considered. What else have we got? Consumer issues. We talked about this before we came onto the radio, and there are a few consumer issues. We're not sure why, but it possibly is just a result of the current economic times. So companies are finding it busy, consumers are finding it tough. So, you know, the Fair Trading Act and the Consumer Guarantees Act is, we're sort of pretty knowledgeable about that now, because we're advising a lot about that. There are people that are, you know, finding it difficult with some goods or services and the, you know, how they're being treated. There are ongoing tenancy problems, not just from the land, the tenant, but from the landlord as well. It's working both ways. So there are correct processes to follow with that.
Because there's been a few changes over the laws.
There's been a few changes, yes, and it's, in recent years, you know, so there's all of that's impacting. So they are the things that we're seeing a lot of. Did I say employment? Because that's really number one.
Yeah, employment would be possibly at least equal to the adult relationships and care of children work that we do.
We're seeing a lot of employment at the moment, and that too is not just employee, it's employer. And that sort of ties in with the business owners and the problems around that as well. but it's all to do with we're seeing quite a lot of restructuring or possible redundancies and having to work through and let people know what the right processes that should be being followed and, you know, steps to be done both ways. Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah.
What don't we do? We don't really do trusts, wills, estates, so Victoria's got knowledge in that area.
Yeah. We don't tend to get involved in criminal law to a great degree because people can take advantage or people can use the duty solicitor or the public defender service. So we do talk to people about limited licence applications if they've lost their licence because they've got too many demerit points or excess breath alcohol. And the other one that we don't do much of is if someone's eligible for legal aid and they can get a legal aid lawyer, then that's the best route for that person to take.
Cool. We're just going to take a wee bit of a music break and we'll pick up on a couple of those points there. So this is from The Clash and we're keeping with that theme of I Fought the Law. So here we are at Well with Darren and Victoria from the Wairarapa Community Law Centre. Lovely to have you here. So we've heard a bit about your roles and some of what you undertake, and just picking up on some of the themes you talked about there, like with employment issues, relationship issues, consumer issues. Is that a bit of an upward trend at the moment, or is that from you see more cases come with changes in legislation? What would be your take on the matters?
We're definitely busier this year than we were last year. I couldn't say for certain that's a result of government policies. It could in part be that. It could in part be that we've got a really good team at Community Law and we offer a great service and it's just word of mouth. We're always getting referrals. Somebody will leave a message and say, oh, you helped my sister, brother, father, mother, and now I've got a legal issue, so I'm coming to you as well. So I think that's part of it.
Great.
Yeah, part of, you know, our involvement in the community and promoting community law so that people know that we're here and what we do.
So what about other things like with the COVID, the cyclone, the current economic climate? Is that also a driver for more incidents of crime, or not so much crime, or disputes? Is that a better word to use?
I'm not sure about that. I think I've experienced only a couple that have related to the cyclone.
Yeah.
Nothing, because I've only been there that period of time. I've had nothing that sort of I could relate to COVID. So I'm not sure about that, really. Yeah.
No. I haven't dealt with many people affected by the cyclone. Our area goes up into the Tararua, and I know that I think it was the Hawke's Bay Community Law Centre received additional funding to help people in our centre boundaries onto their centre, and I think they might have been picking up the people who are in the northernmost region of our geographical area. And there was other areas of assistance for people affected by cyclones. So we didn't see a lot of people in that area.
What would you see behind it then as the common drivers for offending to occur, disputes to unfold? Is there any common themes that seem to be underlying?
Part of it could be a lack of knowledge around what the law is, what the laws are in any given area. Possibly with young people, it's not understanding the consequences of breaking the law, how that flows on into it might affect your ability to get a job, it might affect your ability to travel overseas. We do see people coming in wanting to know about the Clean Slate Act and how they can use that to not disclose criminal offending from their youth because it's impacting on their ability to get a job as they get older.
And so the Clean Slate, that's 7 years without offending, that it's kind of wiped clean, though there are some convictions which aren't exempt. Is that
exactly
correct?
Yeah. So if they involve children.
Mm.
So if you're going to be applying into the police force or teaching, that sort of thing, you'll find that the Clean Slate will not be applied to the same extent. So the Clean Slate's, you know, fine for a lot of sort of slightly more minimal offences, perhaps. It still means, though, that if you're travelling, you still need to disclose convictions. Mm. You might want to travel to Australia, for example, and you can't say you've got no convictions, even though you've got a clean slate.
Mm.
So it's sort of works in New Zealand.
And so that's been of good character to be accepted in there.
Yeah.
Because obviously earlier we've had on someone from Youthline, and we talked about how that prefrontal cortex in youth takes longer to develop. So often it's that spur of the moment activity potentially gets them into trouble with the law, and then but that conviction is then going to be a potential barrier to things like employment and travel. So
absolutely,
really good for them to know.
Yeah.
So maybe just picking up on a bit of things like there, because there is a specific youth court. Is that correct? Like I'm just looking court types. You've got family court, civil court, district, youth, employment, environment, high, supreme. Is there a bit of difference there we could quickly touch on?
I don't know very much about the youth court, I'm afraid.
No, I don't either.
No, so I wouldn't be able to tell you anything, really.
No.
I just assume it's something that's dealing more with the youth issues. Yep. And we seem to hear a lot about ram raids and other things like that. That seems youth seem to be...
Yeah.
There's certainly a need for that. And I guess the outcomes are probably... more restorative and rehabilitative at that age.
Yes.
So it's not...
Yeah, I went to the Poverty by Design conference in Wellington a couple of weeks ago, and a youth court judge spoke, and I seem to recall her saying there are about 280 youth before the youth court currently. So it's not a great number. It should be a problem that can be solved.
And so one of the other things we talked about is what are the more common cases you work on. I think you've probably already touched on some of that. Are there any particular types of cases that really sort of stand out for you, that the ones you're seeing have the greatest impact on your clients, or the most common reoccurring, or any trends or thoughts on that?
You've got to be a little bit careful what you say.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we're here in terms of confidentiality and don't want you to breach anything there.
Things that can make you sort of impact on me, probably personally, are ones that, I can see the impact on that person hugely. If it's been a medical event, for example, or the loss of their job causes a whole heap of other things to have happened, someone's a bit older and they've spent quite a large amount of money and then haven't been able to get that back because of an item that they've bought. There's a whole heap of different things that could impact on you. You know, I see young parents and trying to raise children and the conflict between them and the children. You know, these things can impact.
So there's that ripple effect, isn't it? You know, if you've had an employment case or something, you've lost your job, you haven't got income coming in, affects your mortgage, you worry about how you're going to live, how you're going to feed the kids, etc. So,
and that in turn affects your relationship. So then you start having relationship problems. You might be renting, you can't pay the rent, so you might become homeless. It all ripples out.
Can get quite complicated very
that's
quickly.
That's what we find too, though, when people come in. They might come in with what they believe to be a legal concern or issue, and there generally is, but it's just fully wrapped in everything else. So it's like not being a social worker, but sort of being a social worker and a legal person as well. So we're trying to assist and work our way through the wider concerns and get down to that legal issue and try and just guide them and help them along the way with what it is, however we can do that. It might be referring to other people, other professionals, or it could be that we're able to help them and solve the issue within-house.
Yeah, because I imagine a lot of people would be unsure of the law. We probably see all these TV programs and think that's how it is, and I'm imagining it's probably not a true reflection of what life's really like when we're working in the law. Is that a fair comment? So if the new program comes out, Wairarapa Community Law Centre, it's just going to be like
it's going to be exciting.
Order, yeah.
Look, we'll do the radio. We're not doing TV.
A bit late, you're already on.
Sorry, what was the question?
Well, I was just really trying to work at people being unsure about the law, about not knowing their rights. How are they going to know when, this is the time to reach out for help, and as Darren just kind of mentioned, to unfold, actually, is there some criminal aspect or dispute in there as opposed to feeling things are just unjust or unfair? How is that sort of determined?
Some of it goes back to the education and, you know, the problem with truancy and people not completing their education. So how can you expect them to know about the law, you know, when they don't have the literacy levels to gain that understanding?
Because I've sat in the family court before, and I know some of the people, the defendants there, were standing there, and they're like, just the way they were looking, and they didn't seem to pick up on a lot of the legal speak. They didn't seem to be having necessary advice given. And I'm wondering how many go through the process and not really know what's actually going on, or understanding some of the supports they could have had, or times that they could have presented information to.
I think probably we've got some good family lawyers, if we're thinking of the family court here in the Wairarapa, and I would believe that those people would be doing their utmost to support their client and just allow them the understanding of the process. And although people are busy, those people could ask if they're a bit unsure. Mm. But if they're a bit worried about that too, I'm fairly confident most lawyers would be doing their best to guide them through the process. And we've also got a really good, and I'm not sure if we've only got one court navigator.
Because I was just about to say, yeah, the court navigators.
She's extremely good at her job. Talking to Cinta? Very supportive.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's a couple of others when I was in there there are people to help support them.
Yeah.
So that's another important thing for people to be aware of. Rather than you're not there alone, you can contact the law centre here and see you guys. Right. But there's also navigators to help you go through the law. Mm. Now, another thing touched on earlier was also about legal aid. Can we elaborate a bit more on that? I mean, I guess that would be an important call for people if... it's going to like to be costly.
Yeah, you would know more about that because you've been a legal aid lawyer.
I think, well, we don't offer legal aid, but we do have a list, quite comprehensive list of lawyers in the area and wider area that do offer legal aid for just about every legal issue or a wide variety of legal issues. So generally you need to be under a certain income threshold to be eligible and have a certain number of dependents living with you. So the income threshold will be different depending on your dependents. And that would mean then that, generally speaking, it's a loan and it's at a lower rate than a private lawyer.
Okay.
So you're not having to pay upfront a huge amount of money or, you know, every month come up with, you know, a large-ish amount of money, but you can pay that off. And that supports, it's another way of supporting people through the legal system. So it's valuable as well.
Absolutely, because I imagine some people might be put off the court process just because of, A, the time that it's likely to take, the energy to put into it, but then also then the cost.
Mm. You also there's no guarantee of success either, so you could spend a large amount of money and not get the outcome that you want, which would put a lot of people off.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, just before we go to another music break, so I'll put this quote in front of you. If one really wishes to know how justice is administered in a country, one does not question the policemen, the lawyers, the judges, or the protected members of the middle class. One goes to the unprotected, those precisely who need the law's protection most, and listen to their testimony. So that's James A. Baldwin. Never heard him, but does that sound... A good law system is all about you talk to the people who've had to face it.
Yes, that makes sense to me.
Because I was just going to say, where there's corruption and things like that, they'd be telling you different. But anyway, we're going to cut across to the police with The Invisible Sun.
Oh,
Welcome back to Well 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 here on Arrow FM. We've got representatives from Wairarapa Community Law Centre in Victoria and Darren have an interesting conversation a bit about how they can support or what they can support you with. So next question, when should people reach out for assistance?
Ideally, they'll reach out for assistance early on, early on in the process, so that things don't build up and the problem doesn't get worse.
I think, as we were saying in the break, actually, it's probably a good thing for people just to feel like they can come into us. If they're not sure, that doesn't matter. We're happy to listen and do what we can, and there might be something that we can do. You know, that there would be a potentially a legal issue in there, and if there's something that we can help them with, we will. And if we see someone else would be better off to help them, then we sort of guide them in that direction as well. So, but we're happy for people just to come in and talk to us. If they believe it's a legal issue, we'll do what we can to help.
So, yeah, important to reach out, because at least they'll know whether you can help or you can't help, or you'll be able to steer them in that right direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a free service, so there's no cost for someone ringing, walking in the door or emailing us. It's not like they're going to get a bill at the end of the day, so just come in and have a chat.
So just to pass on your contact details there, so you're in the Wairarapa Sports House, first floor there, which is corner of Chapel and Jackson Street. Contact numbers 03 377 4134, but you also have an 0800 number, 0800 92 42 52.
That's free, and it's my understanding that you don't need credit on your phone to use the 0800 number. And you can also contact us by email, info@wairarapaclc.org.nz.
And also you have a bit of a website page link there as well with communitylaw.org.nz, and then under there comes centres as Wairarapa.
Yeah, and I'd also give a shout out to the Community Law Centre manual. There's so much information on there, and it's so easy to follow. It's a great resource. I think it has something like 1 million hits a year, where people just find it really easy to use. I'd also mention, in terms of accessing our service, that we run outreach clinics. So we're in Paihiatua at Heartlands on Mungahau Road twice a month, Ikirahuna once a month, and then right down the valley through Carterton, Greytown, Featherston and Martinborough once a month. So those details are on our website. You can just drop in, or if you want to have a set appointment time, you can ring us and set that appointment up. So that's another way that people can access our service.
Great. So who is eligible for assistance? Is anyone? Everyone?
We aim to assist people who can't afford to pay for a lawyer. We don't means test people who come in. We do assess the merits of their case and decide how we're going to allocate our limited resources. But in saying that, we would ask that if you can afford to pay for a lawyer, that you do so, so that you're not using up the service, denying it to people who really need it. So it's really a conscience-based decision. If you can pay for a lawyer, then you should go down that route.
Cool. One of the other things just sort of mentioned in that break as well was that potential where some people think there might be an injustice but doesn't relate to a law. Is that something that sort of frequently happens as well, where people think there's an issue but there's not actually legal basis for it?
Occasionally. You sometimes do have to delve a little bit deeper to see what they might think is a legal issue. And that's just, as we were saying before, if people come through the door and we find that we're not able to support them in that particular, that's where we'll guide them to somewhere else. But then sometimes, things can be a bit deceiving as well, and you can find that there is actually a legal issue.
Yeah, And it's about being upfront with the person and telling them, no, they don't have a legal issue, that their thought process isn't correct. And, yeah, that can take some doing when they've made up their mind.
Because it seems a pretty complicated system law. There's so many sections and subsections and things like that that'll be quite a bit to navigate through by yourself there. So what should, if someone has got a dispute arising there, what do they need to do prior to coming in to, say, receiving your help? What's going to help them to be set up and to do the process as efficiently as possible?
I try and say to people then, if you've got any paperwork, you've got documents, for example, if you've been through or had something that's been presented to you, served on you, or you've created a timeline, or you've got letters, or any paperwork that would then mean that my time, or whoever's seeing the client's time, is better served, we'll be able to, if we can't deal with it initially in that first appointment, we can listen, we can take notes, we can have a feel for what's going on, then we can go back and research or look things up, or we can read through the paperwork. And but having something when they come in can be helpful. It's not always necessary though.
For some, maybe just to have that initial conversation and get a bit of direction as the next steps there, and then you could advise, hey, bring in this particular paperwork,
yeah,
or
it can follow
this
ways.
Up. Yeah. But evidence is obviously key, is it?
Yeah, well, it could be a simple issue with a tree hanging over the boundary. What are your rights in terms of cutting the tree back? We get a lot of questions about rights of way. A lot of questions about building a boundary fence, who has to pay for that. So those sorts of queries are usually one-off. We would just deal with that person, give them the information, and then they go away and talk to their neighbour about building that fence or whatever it is that they've come in to see us about.
Okay, so they've come in to see you, you've offered some advice, it's going to go to court. What happens from there? Are you able to support them in court, or what's going to happen?
No, we don't do any representation in court. So we would hope that the process that you've just explained then, so they've come in and then it's gone to court, we've done a lot of work in that time. So we would have hopefully helped solve that problem before it goes to that point.
Right.
But, I mean, if they do and it looks like it is going to be going through court, then we would have referred them to another solicitor or a barrister. And that they'll be working with them from then on. But, yeah, there's a lot of work done before into
that,
court.
Yeah. Would you recommend people represent themselves in court?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, some people, of course, will be perfectly capable of doing it, but I just know that it's much smoother, it's a better process if you engage a lawyer, because they understand the steps, they're able to guide you through it. It'll ultimately, hopefully, make it go more quickly, though we can't guarantee that with our, you know, the timing and the courts and whatnot. But, no, I'd definitely say engage a lawyer.
And, of course, we're talking about the Wairarapa. Some community law centres do offer court representation. So if there's anyone listening or talking to someone who lives outside our area, their community law centre might operate differently. We all operate independently from each other.
Okay, so is there anything people shouldn't do through this, anywhere on this process? Is there anything that's going to make it worse or reduce their likelihood of having a positive outcome? Is it? I'm thinking also of things like taking it into your own hands, that you get some information and then it's potentially making threats or saying, hey, this is how it's going to be.
Hopefully we've been able to discuss things like that with them when we've met with them. And I know I try and spend a bit of time about how we communicate with the other person that might be the other party or whoever else is on the other side. So we're trying to resolve the issue.
Do you mediate at all between the parties?
No, we don't, no. We probably do at a lower level, we're mediating, but no, that's not part of our role.
No, I'm not qualified to offer mediation.
Okay, cool. So those people are going through a legal process. I imagine it's quite stressful. It's going to be time-consuming. It's going to be taxing on brain power, things like that. How do other people around them best support them through such an event? I'm thinking of their well-being here.
Yeah, we were talking, Victoria and I were talking about well-being actually this morning, and the well-being of the clients that we see, but also the well-being of the staff. Some of the issues that we come up with can be troubling, you know. So when we're thinking about the clients, we're not professionals, we're not psychologists or counsellors. So the best thing we can do is, if we see that there could be a problem, is advise them that they may want to see the GP, or, you know, there are really good counselling services. They might like to go and ask about those. So just looking after their well-being in that regard. Just trying to think what else.
But yeah, I just see it as an important part that it's likely to be a stressful event, that people want to try and maintain a bit of balance there. Because I imagine some cases could be quite complex, and you pretty much end up living in the rabbit hole, and it would feel like it's consuming your whole life. We talked about that ripple effect and how that can have that ongoing on lifestyle. So it is important to have some of those extra supports in there.
Yeah. I think as a small team too, like I've seen how the other two operate. I think we all do our best to accommodate and listen well to the people that come in. We're trying our best to support them, and we can see if some people are needing more support, and we do what we can to help them with their well-being.
And because it's a free service, there's no limit on our time that we spend with any particular client. Obviously, if there's no merits to the case, then we have to be quite honest with the person and say that we've gone as far as we can, and we won't, we're going to close the file, we can't offer any further assistance. But if there is merit to the case and it's just taking a long time to be resolved, then there's no limit for how much of our time we can spend on that.
And for some people, that must be quite tough to hear all of a sudden that, you know, something's really affected them and they feel there's an injustice to say, hey, no, we can't proceed with this. What would you advise to them? How do they let that go?
There is a lot of injustice. Life isn't fair, and that's just the reality.
I think it's the same as we've just talked about.
Yeah.
You know, it really just dovetails, doesn't it? You know, if somebody may have something that is unfair to them, and a lot of this is subjective stuff, isn't it? You know, so it might be unfair to them, and if we've been able to listen to them and guide them to who we believe is going to best help them, then that's what we're doing. If there's been a legal issue in there and we've been able to help them with that, and we've come to the end of what we can do, but then they might need to see somebody else, and we guide them to that person. So it's not like we're stopping being that's it. We're just doing what we can within our roles and guiding them and suggesting they go somewhere else for a service that those other people are experts in, and we've done what we can.
Yeah, and it might just be to temper your expectations a bit, rather than expecting, hey, this is how it's going to turn out, it's all going to be positive, to just realise it's a process and work with that as it goes.
We talk about at the Community Law Centre about empowering people. We're providing information and assistance so that hopefully they can solve the issue themselves. But we have to be realistic with people that sometimes they're not going to get the outcome that they think that they want or deserve. And that's just the reality.
Okay, so with that, we're going to take another quick musical break. And we've got a bit of a Big Yellow Taxi by the Counting Crows.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? It'd be a paradise and put up a parking lot. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people a dollar and a half to see them. No, 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 no.
paradise and put up a fucking lie. Paradise, put up a fucking lie. And now they pay paradise to put up a fucking lie. One night. Listen, late last night, I heard the screen door swing, and a big yellow taxi took my girl away. Now don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? To be in paradise, put up a fucking lie. And now, now, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? To be paradise, put up a fucking lie. Why not they pay paradise to put up a parking lot? Hey, 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 pay paradise and put up a parking
back to Well 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 with our special guests, Victoria Indiron from Wairarapa Community Law Centre. Awesome to have you here today, and thanks for some of the wonderful knowledge you've imparted with us. So let's just round up a few things. First of all, your contact details. So Victoria, might like to go through those again. First floor, Wairarapa Sports House, corner of Chapel and Jackson Street. That's the one.
Yeah, that's where we are. We do have access to a lift, so if you have a disability or you just can't manage the stairs for any reason, you can access the lift through the Tiha Ora entranceway. Pop your head in the door and the lovely Julianne will guide you to the lift and show you how to use it. You can contact us by telephone, so it's 0677 4134, and we have an 0800 number which is 924252, and it's my understanding that you don't need credit on your cell phone to use the 0800 number. You can just drop in to our Masterton office or to any of our outreach clinics and get free legal information and assistance. You can also contact us by email, so info@wairarapaclc.org.nz, and all of that information is on our website.
Cool. So what about office hours that you say to drop in? You open Monday to Friday?
We're open Monday to Friday, 9 till 4, depending on staff availability, because we're only a small team of three. If somebody's on leave, we might have to vary those hours.
Wonderful. Well, we've got to wrap it up there. We're running out of time, but it's been awesome to have you here. I know there's people out there who are having disputes or facing consequences with the law. So what's your best piece of advice to people in those situations as we final words of the day? Victoria, you first, by the looks of it.
You're welcome to come and see us, even if you're unsure about what the legal issue is, and we will listen and we will help.
And Darren?
Same, absolutely. Give us a call, give us an email. We're happy to, you know, hear from you.
Okay. So, yeah, any problems with Law and Order, as we start off our show today, get in contact with Wairarapa Law Community and lovely people, Victoria and Darren, will be only too happy to help you, as well as
Craig.
That's right. Awesome. Thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
And we'll just round out with a bit of Don't Worry from MedCon.